So here we are at the end of the Zman. It's been a long Zman through so much. And it's important at the end of the Zman to take stock, to look back, and to measure the success that a person has in Beis Medrash, and for that matter, in life. And the tricky part. This stage in life, post high school, you have no report cards, no grades, and it's hard to measure success, right? Obviously, from this point in life, right? There is no real clear guidance necessarily in what a person achieved, what their success is. And it's important here in Yeshiva to be able to put that in perspective and to appreciate what we did accomplish this month, this year, and especially this year with Corona. You know, other years, perhaps a person could look back and could reflect and he could compare in some form, maybe his second year base manager to his first year, third year, fourth year. Your first year married, your second year married, there's so many different things. At least there's some vantage point you can look back and compare. We're dealing with a Zman, which there's no comparison. There's been this pandemic, which has greatly limited everything that we've been able to do. And thus, in that context, it's really hard to measure. Whether you're in yeshiva or I'm talking to alumni, the people who are out of yeshiva, it's very hard to measure what has transpired, what have we accomplished over the last few months. And I think that's kedai to focus on, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to present five areas. Which I think by and large, everybody here, everybody listening, has grown to some degree in, perhaps some more than others. But these are five universal areas of growth that have, from Jew, a Ben Torah, Ben Yeshiva, has gained tremendously over the past few months in particular, but really. It's a reflection on the whole year of what they were able to do and then accomplish. So the first area is the area of flexibility. And this area, I found a sforno in this week's Parsha, which beautifully hits on the milah of a person having a midah of being able to be flexible.
I think it's Ches Yudbeis. Al pi Hashem yachanu v'al pi Hashem yisov, the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar basically traveled wherever the Anan took them. Wherever they were sent, that's where they went. The Anan, the cloud, gave them their marching orders. And okay, some places the Mishkan stayed for a while. Other places, chick-chock, in and out. Some places were good places to be. Some places were bad neighborhoods, bad situations. And the Sforno has a whole piece talking about the tremendous chus that Klal Yisrael had, Leichech Acharei Bamidbar, showing Avos Hashem and Bitachon in Hashem in following HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Midbar. But it bothered me in going through that Sforno. And I didn't yet track it down, but I'm pretty sure the Reshiva has a shmooze from Rav David. Not in this Sforno, but at least it wasn't here, but in some other spot. Similar idea. But Lachara, the Pasha de Kasha, that why is it that this is such a big deal? You're in the desert with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taka, you know, you don't know, this place is not the best place. So what are you going to do? You can decide to go through the desert by yourself. Me and my campus, forget it. Hashem, I give up on the Anan. I'm doing my own thing. Like, what are you thinking? It ain't going to work. L'chorah, the B'nai Yisrael didn't really have another option. They were stuck. Wherever Hashem told them to go, they're going to be. So what's this big nisayon that they followed Hashem? What was the other choice? Doesn't sound like there was any good, valid choice. Any logical other choice. And I think the pshat is, in a chanami, there wasn't really another choice. And yeah, they had to follow Hashem. But that itself was a big deal. Because it is very tricky to be somewhere where you're not sure where you're going to be tomorrow. Talk to any parent who has to figure out what their kids are doing this summer. I could tell you. What are your kids doing this summer? We have no clue. Are the camps opening? Who knows? That's a very big challenge when you don't know what's going to be the next day. I might be here, I might be there. Who knows? That's how the B'nai Yisrael lived for 40 years in the Midbar. As soon as the Anan got up, they got to move. The acceptance of that. They were in a chanami, they were stuck in that situation. But many people get stuck in situations and they're just frustrated with it. They're sick of it. There's a certain acceptance, and even more than that, a certain flexibility that people could show when they're in a challenging situation, when they don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, when they're going to might have to change their plans, what they thought they were doing next week, they won't be able to do. That's exactly what everyone here has lived through during this tkufa. Everyone, no matter who you are, some degree in your life, you became more flexible. There were things you never would think you'd be able to do. All of a sudden, you did it. Parents never thought they could work at home and do homeschool. No one ever thought that. Guys never thought they could sit and learn three Siddharma a day in Natan Alon's closet. No one thought they could do that. But somehow they did. Guys became more flexible. The most rigid of people that you can't convince to change, to do anything, all of a sudden, in this situation, he was able to change. Really, you have that other chazal that says, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was stuck. He had to go into Shidduchim, and he couldn't get the perfect Beis Yaakov girl. He was a fugitive. I'm going to quote this, and, you know, please don't label me a racist, BLM. But the Ralbach says, Elash and Moshe was stuck. He had to marry Kushis. That was all available. He had to go marry Tzipora and Midian. Zok the Ralbach, you see from here, and Dovi, this is an important yesod for dating, for life, that a person has to be able and flexible. You know, you have certain ideas, certain expectations, but you know what? You see things aren't going exactly like that. Situations change. You got to be flexible. I had a chassan tell me, he said when he first realized he's getting engaged during this tkufa and he doesn't know when he's going to get married, at first he started like, you know, stressing out over it. Like he's not going to have a normal wedding. It's not going to be. But after a while, he dealt with it and he realized he accepted it. And he said, you know what? It's the biggest bracha. Because now I know that my wedding is not going to be this shtick or that shtick, that place or that place. It's one thing to focus on. I'm getting married to my wife. Chassan told me. Very impressive. Beautiful. So I think everyone to some degree became more of a flexible person. A person who's able to settle sometimes for b'di'evet when you're stuck. When you're stuck, b'di'evet could become l'chachila. But many people can't get past that. If you weren't Moshe Rabbeinu, you wouldn't get married. But I have to marry the best Beis Yaakov girl. You might be Moshe Rabbeinu, the best guy ever. But you know what? You're going to have to settle for a kushi. Because that's your situation. So that's one yesod. Second yesod is in terms of learning. And I give credit to Rav Shragi Kalif, Rebbe in Torah Or. I happen to hear on Torah Anytime a beautiful, I almost might use the word schmooze. I think it's a pretty nice shot in the Gemara in Erevin. Gemara Erevin, Daf Nandalam Abeis, Darshan's a pasuk, believe it's in Shir Hashirim, Ba'avasa Tizke Tamid. You're constantly in love with Torah. And the case the Gemara brings, who's an example of an Amora who is constantly in love with Torah? Rabbi Elazar ben Bedas. It seems Rabbi Elazar ben Bedas earned the Parnasa and he worked in the marketplace. But at the same time, when he had time on the side, he would hawk and learning, think and learning. And he got so involved in his learning, he put his jacket down somewhere and didn't remember where it was. Anyone who's ever put their hat down, Hanan, you can attest to this, you know, on the way to Seder in the morning in Queens. And then when you come out of Seder after the Pilpul Share, you pick up 500 hats because you have no clue where you put your hat in the morning when you're trying to think about being on time for Seder and after the Pilpul Share and this. Right? This is Maisa B'chol Yom. So many people, Lachora, fit to some degree that story. Right? You got orangutan and learning, and you forgot where you put your jacket. The fact of Shragi, why is this like the epitome of someone who fell in love with Torah? He says, why don't you go through Shas? Aren't there so many other stories of people who fell in love with Torah? What about Hillel HaZaken, right? Who loved Torah so much, he couldn't get into yeshiva. Well, he became a snowman on the roof. Remember that, Gemara? Well, what about the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about Rava? He was sitting and learning, and he was leaning on his fingers. And he didn't even realize he was causing his fingers to bleed. That was how much pressure he was adding by putting his fingers, you know, as he shuckles back and forth. I mean, there's tons of stories of, like, tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, tremendous dedication and being involved in learning all throughout Shas. What's so special this Gemara in Erevin is picking, the Rabbi Elazar ben Bedas, this idea that he forgot his coat in the shuk. Zakhtar of Shragi, beautiful Yisod. You know what? Obviously, it's very chashiv, Hillel Mechayev Asaniyim, what Hillel did. It's very chashiv what Rava did. Rava was a orangutan in his learning. But you know what? They were both in normal situations where a person is sitting and learning. It's around the yeshiva, inside the yeshiva, in a base medrash. You're sitting and learning in a normal situation. But what about the person who's not in yeshiva? Or his yeshiva is closed. It's corona. And you have to learn at home, on your dining room table, in your bedroom, sharing a phone with other siblings, with all the noise going on in your house. You have to put aside everything else and focus and learn. What do you say about that guy? That's Ba'avasa Tiska Tamid. To be able to learn outside of the Beis Medrash, where Baruch Mordechai Yizrahi says that the biggest sorrow for Klal Yisrael, we have no yeshiva. The yeshivas are closed. For a person to be able to do any type of learning, Kol Shekein, people are zochet to learn for three siddurim. That's so big. So tough. It's so challenging. When was the last time you learned in your house? Okay, there are French benefits. Guys eat three suppers a night. But Lemaisa, in learning-wise, it's definitely harder. Everyone's gained in learning. I'll give you a third area. A kesher with the Rebbe. We all know, we all preach, we know it's so important for a person to have a kesher with the Rebbe. But you know what? There's such a contrast between a guy when he's in yeshiva versus someone when they're out of yeshiva. When you're in yeshiva, do you know how easy it is, relatively speaking, to talk to Rebbe anytime something's on your mind? You bump into Rebbe how many times during a day in the Beis Medrash? Right? We even have, Daniel Freeman. Hey, would you like to walk Rabbi Luban today? You get offered time to spend walking Rebbeim home, sitting with them to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper. There's so many opportunities. So all that it needs is for a guy to be a little bit, a mavakesh, and a little bit, Rebbe, can I ask you a question? Sure. But what happens when you're away from yeshiva? The effort it takes to pick up a phone, sometimes text, to call, to contact the Rebbe, Rebbe, can I reach out? I want to talk to you about the shayla. That's so much harder. It's a little step, but you know what? Emotionally, those little steps make for a big difference. And I'll tell you, and guys who've been trying to get in, talk to me in the past 10 days could probably testify. I have hours of appointments now every single day. Hours. Why? I'm blown away. Okay, look, there's a certain amount of interaction I do with guys every day, so that helps. But guys, Rebbe, I want to talk about something. Especially towards the end of his mind, guys have shilohs about this, about that. But guys reached out. Do you know what a big deal that is? You know what accomplishment it is? If a guy reaches out in his years in yeshiva, Be'ezus Hashem, you're on the right path. Then when you're out of yeshiva, you reach out. When you have a shiloh about shidduchim, what should I do? You'll reach out. You have a shiloh about chinuch, you'll reach out. You're accustomed. I don't just talk to a Rebbe when I'm in yeshiva. I talk to Rebbe when I'm out of yeshiva. For any single person that has some degree of a relationship with the Rebbe over the past few months, that's realize how big a deal that is. It's such a big, huge thing to establish a kesher and not to be embarrassed, to call a Rebbe whenever, knock on his door, call, whatever it is, not just when I'm in yeshiva. That's priceless. A fourth area, which again, I think this applies to everybody, is the inyan of tefillah. And, I saw a lot of people write things about tefillah, and I saw a lot of letters when the shuls were opening up, all the different policies and this. I give credit to Rabbi Radinsky in Muncie. He's the only person I saw who made this ha'ara. In a normal year, at this point, he'd be almost on his way here in Miami. We're supposed to rent out our base medrash. Instead, we're using it ourselves, Be'ezus Hashem. But Rabbi Radinsky made a beautiful point. He said, we all look at it, that it was chaval for a few months, a couple months. There were no minyanim. People weren't able to daven with a minyan. What a shame. There are so many people. We know the story from Gamaliel Rabinowitz, right? There's no streaks in Klal Yisrael. No. Streaks are for baseball, at least when it was open. But there is something about tefillah. Really, it was the worst thing ever that we weren't able to have in Yonim. I'll tell you why. There's a shayla in the Rishonim, Kriyas Shema's Doraisa, but is tefillah Doraisa? Most Rishonim hold tefillah is not Doraisa, it's only Dorabanan. Davening Shemona Esrei, davening tefillah is only a Din Dorabanan. However, Dr. Rambam, but tefillah be'eis tzara, tefillah when it's a time of a tzara, everyone agrees it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. That means we really had a greater chiyuv of davening over the past 3 months than probably most of us ever had in our lifetime. Maybe during the certain wars and Eretz Yisrael was at war, maybe that'll also be some din of the Eitz Tzara. I'm not even sure. Does Eitz Tzara have to affect you or affect other Jews? But l'maisa, this tkufa was mamish tefillah be'eitz tzara. calling out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yamcha Hashem B'yom Tzara. We're calling out to Hashem who's a Tzara. There are people around. I'm thinking, the guys look back. I don't think there was ever a tikkun in my life. By the end of the thing, I had 4 index cards filled in small print with names of cholim I was davening for by the end of this thing. In the beginning of this thing, I remember a lot of people were davening for the Ksira's mother. Ksira boys all went through yeshiva. Their mother got sick. Chazdei Hashem. She was healed. Many people, local North Miami Beach people, know Rabbi Lehrfeld, who was battling and still to some degree is battling corona. People could identify with. The Rabbanim in Bell Harbor got sick early on with corona. And so many people know, people don't know, aunts, uncles, grandparents, chas v'shalom. There were so many people, Rabbi Ginsburg from the 5 towns, Rabbi Schaefer was sick at one point. So many people. There isn't a yid who doesn't know people personally who were sick, or Rahman, some people who were nifter. So there was so much davening. That was another area which is no shaila. We all got better in on some degree. And that's a chosh of a thing. I'd like to end with one last area, which I think everyone here could be proud that they were mechazik in. And I'd like to introduce it with a story. Actually, 2 stories. Rav Meir Chodosh, as we all know, the famed mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva, great Talmud of the Altar. When he was a bacher in Slabodka, during World War I, he had a very dangerous situation. He was basically walking in the streets in Lita, and he didn't have on him his passport, his certificates, whatever he needed, and a policeman arrested him. And he brought him to the station, and he took out his gun, and he was about to shoot him. Obviously, these guys were just looking for excuses. Not having your papers is not really an excuse to kill somebody. He was a young bacher, 17, 18-year-old bacher. And the guy took out his gun. He was about to shoot him. And Rav Meir Chodosh started, tensing up. And he started shivering and bending over. So the Nazi, the officer screams at him, "Stand up straight, Jew!" And he screams so loud, an officer in the other room in the police station peeked inside the window, heard this officer screaming, and screamed back, "Keep your mouth shut. Leave the Jew alone. What are you doing?" And like that, his life was saved. After this Maisa, a young Rav Meir Chodosh was a big Slabodka Talmud, and he realized that this was an ace. His life was saved. And, he wanted to make Kabbalahs, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, he was saved. And he made all sorts of Kabbalahs to be better in. Fine. That's what happened when he was 18 years old. Fast forward 10 years. He's a bacher learning in the Slabodka Yeshiva in Chevron. And he's steiging, he's learning. And basically over one Shabbos, Rachmal Tzlan, a massacre occurred. And these Arabs went and mamish killed everyone they found in this area, including tons of Slabodka Talmidim, Chevron Yeshiva Slabodka Talmidim. Rav Meir Chodosh is in the room. And they saw the Arabs run in, start stabbing everybody, killing everybody. And he was standing next to another Talmud in the yeshiva. And the Talmud started fretting. And he said something to Rav Meir Chadash. We should ask them to kill us right now. Simply, so we don't have to die a painful death. And Rav Meir turned to him and said, Chas v'shalom, don't be miyayish. He says, play dead. And he pushed him, and they both went to the floor playing that they were dead. The Arabs went around. They killed every single person in that room besides Rav Meir Chadash and that other bacher. Every single person was killed besides Rav Meir Chadash with his quick thinking of playing dead with that bacher that he told. He was machazek and told, don't be miyayish, do this. The bacher, after this whole incident, asked Rav Meir Chadash, how did you have the strength at that moment? They were killing everybody in the room. How did you have the strength to think clearly, not to be miyayish? So listen to what Meir Chadash said. He said, 10 years earlier, I was in a situation where my life was on the brink. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. And you know what? I assume Meir Chadash said this all sometime later, because it's such a deep word. He must have thought about this after. He said, you know what? After my life was saved 10 years ago, I made all types of Kabbalahs. But you know what happens with Kabbalahs? They last a little bit. And after a while, there's nothing left of them. So really, when I look back at what happened, Hashem saved my life 10 years earlier, I thought I really had nothing left from it. All those Kabbalahs are long in the rearview mirror. But I realize in retrospect, the reason why I had the strength and the emunah to get by this situation in life 10 years later was because I lived through that trying time 10 years earlier. That's something which stands forever. I heard of Elia Brudny say over this story 2 nights ago at the Torah Masorah Convention. And he made a parallel so beautifully to our situation. You know, some people might look, even if a person reflects back and they didn't inherit all the flexibility, the midah that they got over this time, how much Torah growth they got learning wherever they were, the little extra step in making a kesher with the Rebbe, how that's something that you treasure for life, utilize for life, the growth in tefillah, even if you put all those four areas aside, you look at yourself, what did I gain? I got through davening, I got through learning, I'm here. We're not going to see the effects of the growth that we had of this period right now. Rav Meir Chadash didn't see the effects of Hashem saving his life, of getting through that challenging period when he was 18 years old. He saw it 10 years from now. We could see it 20 years from now. When you live through a time period that's really a tzara, which this is, bona fide, and Baruch Hashem, you're still on the straight and narrow. You're still a Ben Torah. You're still going. That's such an awesome strength and a chizuk and emunah that Be'ezu Hashem, that's something we take with us for the rest of our lives. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances are around us, to realize we got through adversity. The Zman, which you might have thought, of all the Zman in my life, poor me, I'm a third year guy, this is my last Zman in yeshiva. It's mamish pumfar keret. This might have been the greatest Zman you ever had in yeshiva. Not because of how much you covered, how many sugyas you understand, who could sit through a Zoom share. Gosh. But the growth is a growth much more than that. It goes into our kishkas. The growth, the chizuk and emuna, we're different people. And that's something which we say, Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. How fortunate are we not to be able to learn despite this man, but how fortunate are we to be in yeshiva and to be connected with Torah during such a zman. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I have to give a special Akaris HaTov. I see a lot of Chashava Chevra. I have a dear Talmud of mine, Rav Moshe, who I saw here before from back in the day. Thank you, Rav Moshe. It's good to see you. I see Yona over there. Every time I see him smile, it's beautiful. Lights up a room.
Goyach, Rabbi Kirsch, Goyach on the bar.